On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. 10 years ago, this week, October 1996, the Fox News Channel made its debut on cable. It was a launch of consequence for cable news, for American journalism, for American politics. Conservatives love it. Liberals charge propaganda. Fox says fair and balanced.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks for watching us tonight. We'll get to the shootout between Bill Clinton and Chris Wallace in a moment. But first, the culture war and you. That's the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo.
Welcome back to Hannity and Combs. Florida Congressman Mark Foley's sudden resignation left the Republican Party scrambling for a candidate to fill the vacant spot on the
And later, can you imagine being married to a teacher and then finding out she cheated on you with her 14-year-old student?
And Iraq's prime minister announcing a new plan to unite Shiite and Sunni parties.
The Fox Report with Shepard Smith, a presentation of Fox News Channel, the network America trusts, period.
Joining me first today from Washington is Tom Rosenstiel, director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism. He's former media critic for the Los Angeles Times, chief congressional correspondent for Newsweek magazine. He's co-author of the book The Elements of Journalism, What News People Should Know and What the Public Should Expect. And he, like the rest of the news business, has paid a lot of attention to Fox. Tom Rosenstiel, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
10 years on, here you've got the biggest news gorilla on cable, though the numbers are significantly off in the last year, and we'll talk about that. How do you look out? I mean, here you are. You're standing for excellence in journalism from your high seat. How do you look out on Fox News and its impact? Let's start with journalism, on American journalism.
Well, my seat's not that high. We do a lot of content analysis, and it's crunching numbers and looking at a lot of tape, so it's not that august. I think it's fair to say, first of all, that Fox has achieved something that CNN largely was unable to, and that is, with the exception of the Larry King show, CNN never in 26 years on the air now had much success in creating distinct programs, what in TV people call appointment programs.
They were distinct just by existing when they began, CNN,
exactly.
Just by being there.
But they were, in the early days, and although they don't say so now, it's still probably to some significant degree still true. The programs on CNN sort of blend together, and it's a news service, a breaking news service on television, and it's convenient. And they talked about the technology and the bureaus and the correspondents being the stars. They didn't have distinct anchors. They've tried to change that over the years, but I think really with quite limited success. When Fox began in 96, they said, well, we can't compete in sheer boots on the ground, international bureaus, and all the other things that CNN has. What we can do is attract an audience that is listening to talk radio during the day, to programs particularly at night, that are built around hosts. And so there are distinct programs, the O'Reilly Factor, Hannity and Combs, Britt Hume's Washington Report, Neil Cavuto's program, even their daytime, their morning show, Fox and Friends. Now, these shows, some of them, are quite opinionated. The O'Reilly Factor is all about Bill O'Reilly and his take. Hannity and Combs is an opinion show. Fox and Friends, there's a lot of opinion from the hosts. You really sort of know their view of things, much more so perhaps than the network morning shows would like to imagine that they're revealing about the points of view of their hosts. But these are distinct programs, and they're very carefully formatted, and they have distinct elements to them that are the same every day. As we heard in your run-up, today's talking points from O'Reilly. That's a feature that's on there every day. People know it. It's a signature.
You've got the big music, the whirling graphics, the kind of very distinct showmanship that goes with it. And in all that, you see distinctiveness, but I guess it's the flavor of that distinctiveness that people focus on. I mean, Roger Ailes, head of Fox News, you know, sort of exemplifies the attitude. He calls CNN's international channel the anti-American channel. I guess that's posing Fox as the opposite of that. I mean, within that
distinctiveness. What's the message of Fox? How has that come into the American media arena?
Well, first of all, I think you have to take anything Roger says when he's talking about a rival with some grain of salt. You know, these guys aren't being media critics. They're marketing their networks.
But they're marketing in a new way. You wouldn't have found television news chiefs in pre-Fox times calling their competitors anti-American.
Well, you would have heard Roger Ailes saying it when he was a politician working for George Bush, but
exactly.
you might not have heard...
Or Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan, who worked for...
But you would have heard Rush Limbaugh and people in talk radio saying that about the American media. And that's what Fox, in a sense, has done, is that they've extended that brand to cable news, and they've acquired that audience in cable news. Now, the reason I talked about appointment programming is if you look at the ratings data or the audience data, mm-hmm. what you see is that CNN has a larger cumulative audience. Over the course of a week, more different people actually watch CNN than watch Fox.
That is, they pop in, watch a bit, and off they go. So the total
right.
number is larger. But everybody says Fox has twice as many because?
Because at any given moment, more than double the number of people are watching Fox as are watching CNN and MSNBC combined. Now, what that means is that Fox is getting their audience base to watch longer. They are sticking around for these programs. They're not just viewing this as a wire service that they pop in and out of to check headlines and go.
It's a kind of a commitment. There's a loyalty factor. And Lord knows, I've got relatives in the Midwest where Fox is on all day long on the television, in the kitchen. It's right there, shaping a view of the world. We'll talk about that. What about the numbers overall? I'm looking here at this dip in the last year. Fox's average primetime viewership down 35% in the third quarter this year compared to last. CNN and NBC also down, but not as much as Fox. How do you interpret that, Tom?
Well, you have to be a little bit careful in looking at average numbers on cable because using average as your measure can be dramatically skewed by big events. So if there's a big spike with a crisis, your numbers for the whole year can go up. We use median as opposed to simple average when we do the calculations, which the cable channels don't like, but I think it sort of sands down some of those spikes.
So if you don't have a tsunami or Terry Schiavo dying or a new pope or Natalie Holloway disappearing in Aruba, everything can go down.
Right. And remember last year was Katrina.
Right. I'm looking here.
And that affected the whole year. It was a month of just huge numbers.
But I'm looking at a Pew Research Center report here saying in the past 2 years, Republicans have been tuning out international news and news about Iraq at twice the rate of Democrats and independents. Here's a mm-hmm. business magazine in New York saying that may have hurt Fox.
I think that bad news for a Republican administration may have depressed viewing among a more conservative audience. We know that Fox's audience is more conservative than CNN's audience. What Fox did is it not only brought those viewers to cable, who weren't there, but they took conservative and Republican viewers away from CNN.
There's a charge from the left says Fox News is propaganda masquerading as journalism. What do you say to that, Tom?
Well, first of all, bias is something that's really hard to document. It's really hard to quantify whether something is biased. What I can tell you empirically is that the people on Fox programs are somewhat more inclined, the journalists, to offer their opinions about the news than you will see on CNN or MSNBC, although we've sensed some change in that on CNN, where it seems to be becoming somewhat more opinionated as as Fox has more success. The opinions that we've cataloged from Fox are sometimes, often, not always, but sometimes, stylistically different than what you're going to see in other journalism, but they're not things that you would consider particularly ideological. For instance, if the American troops have success on the ground, they'll say, that's good news. Well, I don't think there's really anybody in the United States who's going to argue that they're rooting for the insurgency or Al-Qaeda. They are. This is an American network, and you know we have all journalism has an American point of view. On Fox, it's more explicit.
You're at the Project for Excellence in Journalism. Do you say Fox News is fair and balanced?
I, to tell you the truth, cannot answer that empirically. I cannot tell you.
Do you know it when you see it?
Bias is one of those things that's in the eye of the beholder. And we've thought about ways to try and quantify that for Fox through content analysis. And so far, we haven't really settled on something that I think is going to be satisfactory or bulletproof.
Do you think the American news business, American journalism, is richer or poorer for Fox's 10-year existence on the scene now?
Oh, it's clearly richer. I mean, the people at Fox would argue that they are offering fairness and balance in contrast to a liberal-dominated mainstream press. And Roger Ailes has said that on many occasions. And he's very dismissive of what he considers an extreme level of liberalism. And he names, you know, some of the most august news institutions in the country.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to the big hood ornament, Bill O'Reilly, on his show The O'Reilly Factor. Here he is laying out what he sees as Iran's aims, its plans to strong-arm the American people into electing a weaker government.
What Iran wants to do is make life so difficult for America that people do change administrations and they get a softer president in 2008, because the Iranians say, look, we can wait for 2 years. And if we can wear down the American will, if we can get the hardliners out, all right, then we can get a softer person administration in, and then we can do what we want to do, which is expand their brand of Islam throughout all of the Middle East.
Bill O'Reilly says Iran wants a softie in the USA. Of course, that's commentary. Of course, it's one of Fox News's big, big draws. We're joined from Washington in this hour by Tom Rosensteel, director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism. And now from New York by Steve Rendell. He's senior analyst with FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. It's a progressive liberal national media watch group. He's co-author of The Way Things Aren't, Rush Limbaugh's Reign of Terror. Steve Rendell, thanks very much for being with us.
It's great to be with you, Tom. That's Rush Limbaugh's Reign of Error.
Of Error. Excuse me.
Yes.
I've got it wrong right here. Reign of Error, my error. Fox News, propaganda, news. How do you see its footprints on American journalism?
Well, I think let me start with the notion of Fox News. Fox News, to us, is a misnomer. Much of Fox's programming, virtually all of its most highly related shows, have very little to do with news. Instead of news, Fox substitutes opinion, political crusades, the latest in sensational and salacious.
But they've got news shows
stories
all day long. I mean, you can always find news on Fox. News shows,
I would argue with that. I would argue with that. They have a lot of opinion. The news shows, what, on missing blondes, on school shootings, on teachers sexually becoming involved with their students. Very little
news. Turn your TV on today. Who isn't talking about school shootings? Who didn't talk about missing blondes? I mean,
Well, there may be some public interest in having some coverage of these stories. They are compelling from a human interest point of view. But it's not hard news, and a lot of these stories are really local stories. They're not national stories, but because they're salacious or have sexual content, they're elevated to national stories by Fox. Now, Fox didn't start tabloid journalism. Of course, probably the first big slug of that was before Fox was born in 1994 or so with the O.J. Simpson case. But Fox does it like nobody else.
Tabloid journalism isn't what I hear as the controversy about Fox. The controversy seems to, because that's in lots of places, the controversy seems to be about objectivity, about political bias, critics saying it's not news, it's propaganda. You looked at that?
Well,
Steve?
That's the second part of my point. But let me remind people that Bill O'Reilly has porn stars on his show from time to time, strippers. He does not shy away from the tabloid part of it. As far as why I call Fox propaganda, and let me start out by saying that in a way, Fox is the envy of people on the left. Progressives would love to have a left-leaning cable news channel. I think I say in a way because I think they'd like it to be less name-calling, less inaccurate, and less partisan. Here's the reason
they want all that, or they just like their version of, you know, dukes up muscular political perspective, and they're angry they don't have it.
No, I think something that aired opinion, the kind of opinion that comes out of Harper's, The Nation magazine, Mother Jones, I think they would like that. The problem with Fox is it's not just, And I have to say, I'm sort of shocked at the timidity and skittishness of Tom Rosenstiel to come out and say that Fox leans to the right. I mean, I know I've been on Fox at least 100 times. I know tons of conservatives there, and they'll all wink at you as they say fair and balanced. I don't know a sensible conservative that doesn't think that Fox leans to the right. And yet this research group can't come out and say what's obvious or produce a study. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about my studies. But Fox's bias isn't just conservative, and it's not just Republican. It's a particular connection to this White House. If you want to see the most jolting U-turn you've ever seen in your life, look at the change that happened when Clinton left office and Bush came in.
What do you mean by that?
Well, look at the way Fox changed their attitude towards the White House. They were an enemy of the White House before, and they became its biggest sycophant afterwards. And in fact, the partisanship towards Bush is very clear. If you look at the 2000 election, you'll see that several Fox hosts liked McCain for a while. And then it was like overnight, all of a sudden, it's Bush. And there was dumping on McCain, people who were McCain partisans, people like Bill Kristol. The Weekly Standard was actually McCain partisan.
So let me ask you, Steve, do you see
this? They switched like that.
Roger Ailes says we are fleshing out the American conversation. There are a lot of Americans who are conservative, and they were not hearing their perspective on the world reflected in the news. We came on the scene. We're doing that now. This is a richer reflection of American perspectives than was there before. Do you see enrichment?
No, I think a conservative news channel would be great. I think Fox demeans news. Yes, definitely. I mean, the name calling, the inaccuracy. I listened to Bill O'Reilly on September 21st say, tell Geraldo Rivera, who was on because he's an expert on Venezuela, apparently. He said, you know what the unemployment rate is down there? It's 85%. Well, I happen to be writing on media coverage of Venezuela. The unemployment rate in Venezuela is 10.7%, not 85%.
A lot of oil money down there and a lot of jobs. Tom Rosenstiel, why has Fox attracted so much attention when it's just got 1.5 million primetime viewers? I mean, explain to us the metrics of media here. Why is that so powerful in a country of now 300 million?
Well, ratings don't make quite the same sense when you're trying to get a sort of sociological grasp on how big cable is the way they do for broadcast, because the network shows are on, there's, you know, morning news and there's evening news and there's primetime magazines, which are really not news shows. So if you get the ratings of the primetime, of the network evening news, and you tally up the three networks, it's about 27 million. You have a pretty good sense of how many people are watching the evening news from the networks. Cable's on all day long. So to get a sense of how many people watch it, ratings won't give you that. You can't just
add up the ratings
for the day. But at any
given time, there's 800,000. The numbers just don't sound that big.
But when you ask people in surveys, where do you get your news, cable or network, the numbers are pretty even. Cable may be even slightly larger. The other thing is that if you ask journalists, what do you watch, very few journalists now watch network evening news because they're at work. And they're not watching TV. So cable news has an influence in newsrooms, not just Fox, but all the cable channels, that is greater than the network news. So consistently now, for over 10 years, if you ask people, just American citizens generally, where do you go for major events, they go to cable. And network has frankly pulled back the number of hours that they broadcast. Political conventions, the networks are cut back to an hour, and they've ceded that to cable news. So cable
Fox
has an influence that is larger than the ratings of any given show. But it is true that the highest rated show on Fox, O'Reilly, is under 2 million viewers, which would get it canceled if it were on broadcast TV.
But it swings a very big stick in the cable world. We're going to hear from a defender of Fox in just a minute, but I want to get our listeners in here. From Nashville, Tennessee, Jonathan is calling. Hi, Jonathan. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Good to talk to you today. You know, my main point is the fact that I think objectivity is a myth. I regularly listen to NPR.
Yeah.
I watch Fox News. I listen to Rush Limbaugh. I don't think any of those folks are giving me the full story, but when I take it all together, I feel like I get a pretty good picture. If you want objectivity, C-SPAN is our channel.
So for you, what, Fox enriches the brew? Because nobody's objective, so bring on a conservative voice too?
Absolutely. I mean, I have relatives who are obsessed with Fox and watch it all day long, and I'm definitely not like that. But I think that, you know, when I'm watching a presidential speech, let's say the State of the Union, I'll flip between Fox and CBS or Fox and NBC, and then when I get tired of the opinions and the interpretations, I'll just go to C-SPAN so I don't have to hear any of that.
Jonathan, we've got it, and thanks for your call, Steve Rendell. Everybody's got a bias. You know that perspective. It's pretty strong out there. It may be stronger 10 years after Fox came on the scene. Jonathan says, look, we need Fox in that picture.
I agree with the caller. I actually think that objectivity is not attainable. I think that I can tell you where Time Magazine, Newsweek, The New York Times, Fox News, all of these outlets stand on issues, whether they're socially conservative or economically liberal or where their position is. I think objectivity doesn't exist. The problem with Fox News, it has become so closely entwined with the Bush White House. That's what makes it a propaganda outlet. If it was merely a mixture of the right-wing views of the National Review and the Weekly Standard, putting out their best arguments, their best policy proposals, that would be enriching. That would be good. The thing is, this station is tied to this White House. That's dangerous. Journalism is supposed to go to those in power and hold their feet to the fire, not suck up to them.
Too tight with the White House, you say. Let's turn to Washington and Jonah Goldberg. He joins us there. He's at the National Review Online, editor-at-large, columnist for the Los Angeles Times. Jonah Goldberg, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
10 years of Fox News. How do you judge its imprint, its impact on journalism, on the country, Jonah?
I think the problem, I mean, there's a lot that's been said here that I actually don't disagree with to one extent or another. But I think one of the problems is that a lot of people are coming into the movie towards the end, and they think they're at the beginning. What we've seen in the media has been going on for a very long time. It's the dissolution of the elite media, of the sort of post-World War II respect for large institutions, that have sort of the fraying of the common culture argument. When I was a kid, the entire media was basically contained, with one or two exceptions, in about 1 square mile of Midtown Manhattan. ABC, CBS, NBC,
right.
The New York Times, all those guys were all next to each other. And long before Fox, the unraveling of all of that system was well underway.
But Fox caught that wave like nobody else, certainly in the cable business, and has ridden it. What do you make of their ride?
Well, I think the ride is attributable to something that never gets mentioned. Yes, the conservative thing is part of it, and I do think that they do, of course, lean to the right. Certainly after 6 o'clock, like all cable channels, it becomes its own kind of freak show with its own kind of carnival barkers, just like MSNBC does with Olbermann and CNN does with Lou Dobbs.
Well, does now, we should point out. I mean, that seems to me to be one of the impacts, is now everybody has their carnival barkers.
Yeah, I think that's partly true, although keep in mind that Crossfire began this trend over 25 years ago. But my point is, I think one of the things that Fox News took advantage of, and I think Roger Ailes was a genius about this, whether he was an evil genius or not is a different debate, is that there was a widespread feeling in the American public that elite institutions were elitist, did not reflect their views, were condescending, were too blue state, if you were. And the animating passion that makes people, a lot of people in America, like Fox News, is that it is populist, that it is not embarrassed to have an American flag on their lapel or in their graphics. That it, you know, it's funny, the defenders of elite media are so frequently confused populist attacks with conservative attacks, and they're not necessarily the same thing.
Is it the same as nationalist?
Well, I mean, nationalist is a... I've been working on a book about fascism for a very long time. There are very important distinctions between nationalist and patriotic and all of the rest. Populism, which is typically and historically a variant of left-wing ideologies, is something I do not like as a conservative. But it is this, you know, what O'Reilly appeals to. O'Reilly is actually doctrinally actually fairly middle of the road on all sorts of things. He's not pro-life. He comes down in sort of weird sui generis ways on all sorts of issues, but he's radically populist. He's constantly talking about how he's looking out for the little guy. He's constantly mocking the New York Times as a bunch of effete snobs in New York. And
but is that all? I mean, this is not. What about Steve Rendell's assertion, charge, that this isn't just populism, this isn't even just conservatism, this is wrapping a news channel around a White House and just loving it to death?
Well, he wants to call it propaganda, which I think is overblown. I certainly do think that Fox has a friendlier relationship with the White House than a lot of other news outlets, and that is hardly shocking. If you look at it from a conservative perspective, most of the other news outlets are unrelentingly hostile to the Bush White House, and the Bush White House thinks it's going to get a fair shake, and so you're going to get this virtuous cycle from their perspective, where at least they can get their argument across in a fair and decent way, in ways that they cannot possibly get in terms of fair shakes from the rest of the media.
Of course, the mainstream media was pretty tough on Bill Clinton when his troubles began to mount up as well. We'll talk about that. Renee is calling from Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Renee. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm calling. I don't normally get my news from the television. I've been listening to NPR for years and years, and when I finally did get married, my husband said, "Oh, my gosh, I can't believe you're listening to all this liberal news all the time." Now, I've never identified myself being conservative or liberal. I think I'm very middle of the road. And a couple years ago when he retired from the Marine Corps, I noticed he started watching Fox a lot. He was watching Fox and Friends and O'Reilly, so that's how I got exposed to that.
And when you watch with him over his shoulder or right next to him, what do you see?
I was actually disappointed by a couple different things. One was in Fox and Friends, it seemed so casual in their lexicon, in their presentation, that I felt like I was listening to a local morning radio show, and I didn't feel like any of the content was that, I don't know, professional because of the presentation of the content. Then when I watched O'Reilly, I felt myself shocked at his views because they were so, so strong one way or the other. And I thought, wow, maybe I really am a liberal because my husband likes this.
So, but what do you think on balance, Renee? Is it good for the country to have that powerful voice out there from that perspective, or is it distorting for the country?
You know, I'm going to be wishy-washy on that. I do think it's good to have different perspectives presented out there, but it concerns me because I know how powerful the media is. And I don't like to think that mindless viewers essentially might be watching and getting swayed one way or the other by either side.
Watch out for those mindless viewers. Renee, thanks very much for your call. In a newscast just last week, Senator Barbara Boxer of California talked about progress in Iraq with Fox News newscaster Jane Skinner.
The Iraqi people have to step up to the plate and they have to defend their own country just as we did. And the American people want them to do it. The thing is, we want them to succeed, but they have to want to succeed as much as we want them to.
Well, Senator, President Bush would probably say he does have indications that they certainly do want to succeed. Thanks so much, Senator Barbara
Boxer.
Well,
we all want to succeed. It's our policy, and I think our policy is not helping matters at all.
Okay. Well, as you know, the president said this morning, the offense is not going to make us less safe. Disagreement with you. We appreciate your perspective.
I hear that you agree
today
with the president. I'm not surprised. Okay.
We're just trying to bring both sides, Senator Barbara Boxer of California.
Oh, you're fair and balanced. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Indeed, we are.
Barbara Boxer, laughing, seething, fair and balanced, my foot between the lines there. We've been joined by Tom Rosenstiel, director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism, by Jonah Goldberg, he is editor-at-large for National Review Online, columnist for the LA Times, and by Steve Rendell, senior analyst with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, FAIR, author of The Way Things Art, Rush Limbaugh's Reign of Error. Right now, Glenn's calling from Washington, D.C. Hi, Glenn, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you, Tom?
We're great. What do you think, Glenn?
Well, I think the news has been dumbed down. You know, this started well before Fox, but I think Fox, with its sort of soundbite mentality and its glossing over the headlines, pick and choose with the headlines, has just accelerated that. And as far as being a right-wing balance, I don't think so. I have noticed that NPR has decidedly swung to the right in the stories it chooses and how it chooses to present the facts that it does represent.
Now, that's interesting. Do you think that's a Fox effect? So other news organizations have come right behind it?
I absolutely do. And also, you know, and Fox never covered it, but the effect that the Bush administration has had on the economics of NPR has definitely decided what news stories they portray and how they portray them.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but let me ask you, what if there's a shift then, fewer facts, more attitude, how do you see the impact on the country, Glenn?
Oh, the country has definitely swung to the right, and has there have been lower expectations of the news media rather than higher expectations. And, you know, you get what you expect.
Glenn, thanks for your call. Let me take another from Boxborough, Massachusetts. Mark is on the line. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
Hi. Good, good. What do you know?
Tom, both you and your first guest, Tom Rosensteel, pointed out that Fox viewers tend to leave it on all the time. And I think Fox is addictive, and that's because it's the cable news equivalent of a first-person shooter video game. It has blaring sound effects, blazing graphics, and a very blustering approach to handling complex problems, usually through violence. And it makes it very simple for people to get their minds around what are otherwise very challenging, complex issues.
That's you're presenting that as a bad thing. I mean, people are watching. They're watching the news, or Fox News anyway, but in a way, the ultimate effect is what?
Well, I think what it does is it effectively sacrifices our willingness to think seriously about things. And by the way, I think Jonah Goldberg is a perfect supporter of this approach. Back when the Iraq War was just beginning in April of 2002, he described himself as an admirer of what he called the Ledeen Doctrine, which he said was this, quote, every 10 years or so, the United States needs to pick up some small, crappy little country and throw it against the wall just to show the world we mean business, end quote.
And that sounds kind of like Bill O'Reilly.
That's the problem. When Fox News blusters like that, and people like Mr. Goldberg do the same, what it does is, in the name of railing against elitists and being pro-populist, what they're really doing is saying, disconnect your brain, follow the slogan, and they're asking us to sacrifice what is our most potent weapon to defeat these problems. That is our intellect and our ability to reason things out.
And pretty quickly, whatever the source, you're right into policy. Mark, thanks very much for your call. I want to go to Kansas City, or near Kansas City, Kansas, for a moment. Chris Herman joins us. She works as one of the news hounds, newshounds.us. Their motto is, we watch Fox so you don't have to. This is 9 women around the country who watch a lot of Fox. They first did it for a very critical documentary called Outfoxed, Robert Greenwald's documentary. They've kept right on doing it, just sort of tracking what's there. Chris, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
You watch Fox a lot. Do you start with a bias? Are you anti-Fox from the get-go?
I wasn't at the beginning of monitoring for Outfoxed. I honestly didn't pay much attention to it.
How much do you watch it now, Chris?
How much?
Yeah.
Probably 10 hours a week.
And what do you see? That's a lot more than I watch it. Maybe a lot less than some, but what do you see in those 10 hours a week?
I see a lot of talking points repeated and a lot of support for the White House and policy. I see a lot of attacks on people who disagree with the administration, and I see a lot of hostility towards people who disagree with the administration.
You heard June Skinner in that exchange with Barbara Boxer. I mean, you can always put the White House position up against a critic, but there was a kind of defending one of our own tone to it, as I heard it anyway. Is that common? Is that typical?
I believe it is. I agree with you there. You'll often get the hosts who are supposed to be objective, or the moderators in an agreement in a debate, taking the conservative side, and it often turns a one-on-one debate into a two-on-one.
And on balance, good for the country because it expands the conversation, or bad because it, I don't know, dumbs it down. We're hearing people saying, binds it up. What do you think?
I think it dumbs it down. I think it's they ignore a lot of important topics and go after a lot of sensational topics. And I also think that it makes things hostile. It's divisive. They advocate a lot of punishment and consequences, except for the White House.
So upping the hostility factor. Chris Herman, outside Kansas City, one of the news hounds at newshounds.us. Thanks very much for being with us. Jonah Goldberg, you took a little whack there. But also, there's the perspective that what we end up with is a less well-informed citizenry, ultimately electorate. You must know this survey that was done by the University of Maryland on misperceptions about the Iraq War found that 80% of Fox viewers hold at least one of three big misperceptions about WMD and Iraq Al-Qaeda link and so on, compared to 23% of NPR PBS consumers. Does Fox leave us with an excited but less well-informed citizenry, Jonah?
I think, somehow I was booked on here as a great booster of Fox, and I've, in fact,
We'll take you from wherever you come.
Yeah, I've written a great number of columns, at least critical of certain aspects of Fox, and certainly of cable news generally. I honestly think we are intellectual nutrition-deprived public for people who rely on their news on television at all. I was a television producer for PBS.
Mm-hmm.
I was on contract for CNN for 4 years, and I can tell you that a vast number of these criticisms that people are making about Fox are basically omnibus criticisms of cable news in general or television in general. Television is fundamentally an entertainment medium, and people tune in for personalities. And saying O'Reilly is Fox News, I think, is a real distortion of what it is, and it's as much of a distortion as saying Lou Dobbs is CNN or Keith Olbermann is MSNBC. None of these guys would be great poster children for a news network.
Yeah, but he's certainly right out there as a big hood ornament.
Popular, I mean, because he's a better showman than these other guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one of the fundamental things I think drives a lot of people crazy. I mean, I think you keep asking the right question. Is it good for the public to have a diverse media? And I think so. What I find disingenuous, you know, as earlier we said, the gentleman from FAIR was saying that he thinks that left-wingers or progressives would like a version of Fox, but without the name-calling.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the left-wing blogosphere, if you listen to Keith Olbermann, if you listen to Air America, the idea that somehow that crowd is against name-calling is preposterous. It is something about having to do with the polarized nature of our time. And what I find disingenuous is so many people who attack Fox News and at the same time decry media consolidation, decry the homogeneity of the media. Well, if you think that Rupert Murdoch is the devil and Fox News is his hellspawn, you can't at the same time say that it contributes to a lack of diversity in the media. It at least puts a different view out there.
I mean, diversity, great, views. But if it's dumbing down diversity, is that good? I mean,
I take considerable exceptions to the notion that MSNBC, which is basically a network,
is smarting up.
Married soccer moms who want to watch a lot of, you know, basically infomercial broadcasting, is somehow raising the standard of information out there.
Let us pick up this idea that Stephen. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to ask you, Steve. I mean, Jonah says, look, don't pick on Fox. Lay off. It's the whole TV news game that's coarse and insufficient.
I don't totally disagree with that. I think that when you look at MSNBC, which Jonah mentioned, it's had a perpetual identity crisis since it started. It doesn't know where it is. The Fox effect, which you mentioned, Tom, has had a huge effect there. Remember, they rushed out right after firing Phil Donahue, the most highly rated show on the network, because they saw him as being against the war, and they thought that was a bad thing. An NBC memo emerged about that. They hired Michael Savage. That was the Fox effect. These same negative traits existed before Fox came on the scene, but Fox does it better than anybody. If I could make one more quick point, that I want to make before the show ends, and that is this notion that Fox is the answer to all the other media, which is liberal. FAIR studies time after time. In 2004, we studied NPR. Its two main shows, 61% of its partisan guests were Republican.
This is the morning and evening news show, 61% Republican. Okay.
Republican, 38% Democrat.
Yep.
The networks we did about 5 years ago, 75% of their partisan guests were Republican. Tomorrow we will release a study about the NewsHour, a six-month study.
PBS.
66%. Yes, PBS's NewsHour with Jim Lehrer.
Okay, how about Fox?
66% of its guests. On Fox, I looked at Special Report with Brit Hume, which is the signal, mm-hmm. the signature news show mm-hmm. of the network. It's harder to look at, but what we looked at was in the first half hour of the hour show, they have a very prominent one-on-one interview.
Okay.
And of the partisan guests who appeared in this newsmaker interview, a greater than 8-to-1 ratio of Republicans to Democrats, 50-to-6 during the period we looked at.
So that's kind of out of the ballpark.
It's more than that. It's more than that. About half of those six Democrats were people like John Breaux and Zell Miller.
So that suggests this is not just more diversity. This is skewing off in a really radical direction away. Jonah Goldberg's observation notwithstanding, let's go to our listeners.
Corporate media bias.
Well,
corporations.
There's a lot of corporations in media, not just in Fox.
Go to Sumner Redstone's example. Listen to him explain why he was going to vote and why Viacom had to support George Bush, because it's better for their business.
Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina. Rich, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I appreciate you taking my call.
Good to have you. What do you think, Rich?
I think there's a real benefit to the whole point counterpoint, and like the earlier caller said, any informed listener recognizes the reality that it is unbiased is an absolute farce. I mean, the reality is that there are smarmy opinionators who opine their point. For example, I would contrast Daniel Schorr just as directly with Bill O'Reilly and say both of them are smarmy and highly opinionated. Their primary role is not to provide news, but to editorialize, and so. For Bill O'Reilly, I don't see him as a news reporter, or he's more of a long editorializing point after point, and that's what he's doing.
Sure, he's a talk show guy, he's a commentator, but you say this is the same argument, that everybody's subjective, everybody's more than subjective, got an axe to grind. Is Fox pushing that? Is it taking us further in that direction in your view, Rich, or not?
Well, I think, to be honest, that was already happening under the name of being unbiased. And so finally somebody says, let's just call a spade a spade.
Rich, we got it. Thank you very much for your call. We're grateful to have it. Let's get one more from Columbia, South Carolina. Patrick, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a conservative.
Great.
And I find that this whole discussion is incredible because, you know, I listen to NPR. I listen to NPR throughout the day. And I find that liberals are really the most uninformed to the opposite position. They don't read conservative positions. They don't listen to conservative positions. And I find conservatives will look at both sides. I find a lot of conservatives listen to NPR, which is liberal. NPR has never done a piece on President Bush that was truly positive. If there's a positive spin, it's at the beginning, and I know there's going to be a huge negative blast by the end of that piece.
Patrick, our time grows very short here, but we appreciate your call. Jonah Goldberg, how about it? Patrick suggests that we all, and he says liberal in particular, end up in silos in this kind of news world with, you know, with our kind of blinkered perception of what's going on in the world.
I think that's partly true. I mean, we've seen it's a polarized society. The rise of the internet allows people to get their media retail. If you look at the numbers in publishing, liberals buy only liberal books. Conservatives are only buying conservative books. I mean, the fraying of the common culture is a problem, and I think you do get groupthink on all sides.
Do you see Fox losing altitude as Republicans run into more trouble here? I'm looking at the New York Business, the paper here saying, you know, Bush's troubles are Fox's troubles.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, the funny thing is at least for conservative, objectively conservative institutions like National Review or the Weekly Standard or the American Spectator, our best years are when Democrats are in office. And the best years for left-wing magazines are when Republicans are in office because you fire up the antibodies of the other side.
Right. And I guess
something like that might happen with cable news, too.
They're all fired up these days. Steve Rendell, last word goes to you. American journalism, richer, poorer?
I think it's poorer, not because of conservative opinion, but because of the name-calling, the inaccuracy, and especially the fact that you have a news agency that does not challenge the White House. That's what journalism is supposed to do.
Mm. Steve Rendell, with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting Fair, joining us from New York. Thanks very much for being with us, Steve.
Thank you.
Tom Rosenstiel at the Project for Excellence in Journalism in Washington. Tom, thanks for being with us this hour. And Jonah Goldberg at National Review Online, editor-at-large there. Jonah, thanks for being here.
Thanks a bunch.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.